I was in Sedona, Arizona, doing the Ascension Rising Conference. And then after that, I went straight to the Star Knowledge Conference in Palm Springs. And it was like a whirlwind tour. I got to meet a lot of interesting people and a lot of interesting challenges. It was just amazing watching how things unfold. The Sedona event went really well. The conference, you know, the talk, people were just totally blown away with the information and all the photos and the videos of the UFOs and the contacts happening here. And it was just incredible to meet a lot of people and just hang out in the energies there in Sedona and going around to a lot of different places and actually doing a lot of clearing work and healing work, clearing up some of the vortexes and some of the other energies. There's a lot of some gray reptilian energy hanging around creating problems, you know, in some other groups. So there's a major cleanup going on, during that event. So it was a lot of work, and luckily I spent 2 or 3 days ahead of the conference and got to cruise all around Sedona. And then I spent another 3 or 4 days after the conference going out to some major retreat centers and hot spots and power spots. But overall, you know, it was quite interesting and very challenging, but it looks like things are really moving in the right direction now. The Palm Springs event was amazing. There's a lot of glitches even getting down there, just a lot of little challenges on the way there. But finally when we got there, everything kind of mellowed out and got to hang out with Chief Golden Light Eagle and Alan and a bunch of my old friends that I've known for years. Chief Blue, I think Blue Star Eagle. They all have different names. I knew them from different names earlier, but they've all kind of evolved into different names. So the Umkwala, hung out with him for a while and got to listen to his story. Amazing information, amazing stories, and they all dovetail together. They all come together. You know, especially when we're talking about the star nations, you know, and the ancient history. But we had an event there that I wanted to talk about that, excuse me, was just amazing. When we finished the Star Knowledge Conference, we went out to Giant Rock. And for those who don't know my ancient history, you might say I was very involved in that area. I was actually raised in Apple Valley, California, and I know Joshua Tree and the desert there. And I've hiked all over those deserts, all over those mountains. I know them very well. And it was like coming home, you know, to these mountains. And I wanted to spend some time up in the mountains and go to Giant Rock and really see what's going on there. The last time I went there at the Joshua Tree event, Contact in the Desert, we had some amazing ships come in. A beautiful pink ship came in, nice and low and powered up. And even the people that do the tours there were blown away. They go, "What is that?" And I go, "Those are ships, you know." And they hadn't seen them before. I thought that was quite interesting. And there was one that went about 5 feet off the ground. So I knew I had to return to that area because the group I was with, they didn't want to do any exploring. There's a lot of talk about greenback rattlesnakes and not going there because they would jump at you and they don't rattle and things like that. Well, you know, that might be the case. I don't know, but I've never had a problem with rattlesnakes. And even on the trip to Superstitious Mountains when I was in near the Phoenix area out at Gold Mesa, I was out in that area. We almost stepped on a big, looked like a greenback rattler. It was a pretty good size one. And I got a nice photograph of him. I put the camera right down to his head and took a nice little photograph. But I've never really worried about rattlesnakes or anything else. But, you know, it just seems the people that were coordinating the group didn't want anybody to go out. Well, this time we went out by ourselves and we hiked all around. And I wanted to go around to the backside of the mountain. And we did. And there happens to be a crystal mountain there. It's all crystal. And you're standing on this little mountain. The energy there was just off the scale. And so we all circled around the top of the very top of the mountain, which was all crystal, and held hands. And we started doing the Lemurian prayer. you know, which is Aum Amaruz Mia Tu Bidi. It means, Father, Mother, God, I love you, come to me. And so we did a few rounds of that, and then we started spinning the energy, and the next thing you know it, we basically disappeared. You know, the whole group disappeared, and it was pretty phenomenal. And we took a picture after coming back, and I took several pictures, and they showed nobody there, and just this incredible purple and violet energy coming in. And then the last picture was taken of us all just standing after the event, and we were totally transparent, and we looked blue. Our energies were blue. We were transparent, and I had a light badge, like a weird squiggly badge on my shoulder, you know, sitting on my shoulder. It was quite interesting, but I'm going to get a copy. I have some of the photos that I took myself, but that one was taken by another a person there that was at the event. So anyway, I'm going to get all the information on that and a copy of that photo and put it up on the site. We'll put it up on both the eSETI site and the BBS site as well. But that was pretty amazing. And after that event, we all completely got recalibrated. And a lot of the stuff I had to deal with the other challenges and all the other reptilian energies and the remote viewers and the sorcerers and all the other stuff that came up to play just got cleaned off and washed away. And I came back a different person. And it was just amazing, you know, after that shift, what happened. But all of us, when we came back, we just got completely recalibrated and retuned. And we also found out that there was a huge download that went into the Earth itself. And so that crystal grid, the whole crystal grid of that area was recalibrated and reprogrammed. And the Andromedans were very much involved in that. Another event that happened is a beautiful ship that kept moving up and down, and it was down on the ground. It was very low, kept rising, going up and down and expanding and doing all kinds of things. We saw amazing light flashes in the sky, just huge flashes of light. And then it looks like I believe it was an Andromedan ship flew right over our heads. So we got to see one up above us as well. And it was pretty interesting. Now, to top it off, after all those events that happened, we were still on that hill. It was a very moonlit night. You could see, we didn't even need flashlight to walk back to the car. And I looked down, and sure enough, right in the trail, right where we were, was these crystals that were stacked on top of each other, a little crystal tower. And I took a photograph of that too. Now, there's no way we could have missed that tower coming in. I mean, it was right on the trail, right next to us. And on the way down, it was just right in front of your face. And it wasn't there on the way up. There was nobody else there. Nobody could have put that little tower together. And somebody in the unseen made a nice little tower of crystals on the trail on the way down. And that was just amazing. And we were just blown away. We took pictures of it obviously. So anyway, we had, you know, the little people were there, the inner earth people were there, the Andromedans were there, and it was an amazing event that transpired. And we got a lot of film to back it up. So a lot of pictures that will show the energy shifting and the bands of energy and swirls of energy and the different colored energies and then us going transparent, which was amazing. But that was to top off the whole trip. And it was just a mind-blowing event, you know, the things that happened there. A lot of good information was shared. A lot of allies came back together. I know I'm going to be working very closely with the Star Knowledge folks again and Star Knowledge TV. There'll be a lot of information coming out there. I did some interviews there. And definitely tune into that. There's so many, you know, reconnects that happened there. You know, it was just a wonderful event. One of my favorite events that we had at the end of the Star Knowledge Conference was the snake dance. And if you've never done a snake dance, I would suggest do one. Find somebody that actually holds those events. I know very few people that are doing that. Very few people know how to do it. It is pretty intricate. If you don't get it right, everybody crashes into each other and you just have a big mess. So you've got to move the people, you know, in the right direction and do everything just right, or you just have total chaos. And you really got to hold on to your partner, because as you hit the whip, you know, you start moving really fast, and it's very interesting. But in a nutshell, basically is you separate into men and women, and then as the dance goes, you come back together again, and at the end of it, they have a line in the middle of the area there, and that line is the line between worlds. It's like leaving the old world behind and stepping into the new world. And at the very end of it, you dance up to this line, and then you jump over, and everybody cheers, you know, as you jump over this line. When you jump over that line, if you're sensitive at all, you feel it. You actually feel a shift happen, and you feel the energy happening. You feel everybody cheering you on, and it's just an amazing event. And, you know, in the beginning you separate, and I always tell people, it's kind of a joke. I said, I never thought I'd enjoy so much dancing with men, you know, but, it's kind of a very powerful and very spiritual, dance that you do, you know, and you do it in the traditional way. So, that being said, it was a wonderful event, and thank God for Sherwin, or, I believe it's Chief Blue Star Eagle is his new name, but don't quote me. But Sherwin was how I knew him from, and amazing man. He had a lot of challenges, you know, beat some very extreme health issues and things like that, and came back, you know, lit up and on the go. So anyway, kudos to him and the rest of the group there. There's a lot of other women healers there, and elders, and Etasha was there, and had a great time with Etasha, and especially we took a trip with Etasha in her workshop, and we actually went up to meet with the Arcturian Council, and we worked together, and I brought my guys in and my different beings in and opened it up and cleared it, and she took us out the rest of the way up to the Arcturian Council, and together our energies combined just created, you know, a heavenly event. I mean, it was just amazing. And in all the workshops that we did, the beings, the ultra dimensionals, all made their appearance. They made themselves very, very known, undeniably known. And I know in one of my workshops, it was amazing because we had the ancient Anunnaki returning. The benevolent ones came in and let people sense their energy and see who they were. And it was intense when they dropped in. So we had the feline beings, you know, the 7th, 6th, and 5D feline beings came in. We had Mary's energy come in. We had Kazekiel's energy come in. And everybody started just busting out in laughter. Kazekiel's the god of eternal bliss. When that energy came into the room, it was just amazing, the effects of that. And overall, people were just either hysterically laughing with the energy when they connected to it, or that, you know, they're crying or in process. You know, you can't be in that much energy and not have it change your reality. What I really liked is there was a lot of people in the workshop that were very mental. They're very left brain, and they felt the energy too when it came in. It was undeniable. And one guy said his crown was going through the roof, and he feels like he's wearing a beanie, and he says, I don't know what's going on, but my whole brain just got massaged, you know. So that was an amazing event there as well. So I love it when everybody has their own experience. You know, now it's experiential. It just isn't somebody telling you what's going on or telling you this or telling you that. It's experiential. It's happening within each individual. So there's some amazing openings and healings and connections that happen, you know, at these events, and I'm looking forward to doing more of them. We're working on that right now. A lot of new information too came through, and you know, all the pieces. What's nice is is like the universe is one big puzzle. You know, it's all coming together and it's all source. And everybody has pieces of this puzzle, and none of us have the whole piece. And what I liked about these events is that, you know, they had the whole enchilada there. They had so many different varieties of teachers and addressing, you know, body, mind, and spirit, every level, that it was amazing. A lot of divine feminine energy was coming in, you know, to these conferences, and they were honoring the divine feminine. And I love the women that actually stood up and took their, you know, claimed their space too during the conference. It was great. You know, it was amazing. So it is time, you know, even the prophecies talk about that. It is time for the men to step aside and allow this divine feminine energy to come in. If you really want an advanced society, you know, we have it backwards on this planet, because your subjective side is feminine and you need to receive information through the feminine. You have to be subjective to the higher dimensions to receive the information. If you're objective, you don't get anything, you know, you're closed off. So you have to be subjective. So the energy comes through the subjective side, the feminine side, and it's carried out on the right side, the male side, the action side. And that's the way a healthy society is. And we've got that backwards, the patriarchal society, with the men making all the decisions from the ego, totally disconnected from spirit, is why we have this big mess on the planet that we now see. You know, grandmothers do not send their children to war. They just don't do that. You know, they love their families. They want their families to be safe. And they just don't, you know, they understand nature, and they understand the mother, you know, the divine mother, Mother Earth. And they don't totally trash, you know, the planet, and they don't poison their children, and they don't do all these things that are being done today. So I think it's time for that energy to come forward. It is coming forward very strong right now. And a good image is like Mother Mary with a bat, you know, because she's coming in strong, and it's no nonsense now. And this old paradigm, this old network, the grid, the old patriarchal grid is collapsing. It's falling apart. Let it go. You know, don't participate anymore. Change your reality. Change your world. It's that simple. You know, don't be a willing participant in anything that's harmful to humanity and the earth anymore. Start being kind to each other and being supportive and be of service, you know, and we can turn this planet around. It'd be amazing if the elite all of a sudden had nobody working for them. You know, nobody cared, nobody paid any attention to them anymore. What can they do, you know, without people, you know, willingly serving them and doing these despicable acts, you know, on the war and the disease profiteers and all these other things? What if everybody just walked away and just said, I'm not participating? You know, where would they be? You know, so it's up to us to stop being willing participants, you know, in the wars, you know, and in the perpetuation of disease and all these other things, and allow the fuelless energies to come in and the clean earth technologies and get behind these technologies and bring them in. But that was the main story. There's another news event too that I wanted to talk about. One is the Free Art Bell movement. And now Art Bell did, I have to say that Art Bell did one of the best interviews I've ever had. When I did an interview with him, I put it out over the net. I'm going to work on that again, because somebody screwed up our email list again, our newsletter, and it went straight to Facebook when I tried to put that interview out. But it is on the site. If you go to the eSETI website at eSETI.org and just go into interviews, you'll see the Art Bell interview is there if you want to hear it. And he did one of the best interviews. And we brought on triple PhD Boeing engineers, Lockheed engineers, Skunk Works people. We've had Air Force base commanders, air traffic controllers, pilots, people from all walks of life that have been to eSETI and have seen the ships. And a lot of these guys testified on Coast to Coast, which was amazing. And it's there, you know, for anybody to see and hear. And that just throws a real monkey wrench into the debunkers. And when you have that caliber of people, we've had NASA people come here and completely validate, you know, what's happening. The one thing is that the ones that did come here can't go public because they'll lose their job, they'll lose their pensions and everything else. So unfortunately, we can't bring the NASA people forward because, you know, just out of respect for them and their families, I don't want any harm or any karma around that one. But we did bring on the triple PhD Boeing engineers, the Skunk Works people, and the, you know, the other people who came and testified, and air traffic controllers have come on record, you know, and saying these are not ours. These objects are morphing from 1 to 3. They're landing. They're making right angle turns at several thousand miles an hour. They're powering up for everybody to see. They're treetop level. Some are even below treetop level. And they're making turns and flying around trees and around the mountain. So this is definitely, these are definitely off-world vehicles, you know, or ultra-dimensional vehicles. They're not ours. And if you see what these objects do and the way they do it, you would know, you know, they're coming in every color, you know, pink, green, blue, purple, white, you know, every color, every size and shape imaginable. So we have huge cylinder ships, you know, giant triangle ships on film. Basic discs. We have the metal discs, pictures of discs that are actually physically metal discs with antenna coming out of them. A lot of different photos and things. And so there's the mountain of evidence here is overwhelming. There's a few people out there that are still trying to debunk us. I know the Michael Horn group and Billy Meyer group are still trying to say that they are the only true contactees. There's no other contactees on the planet. And that Billy's the only true prophet of God. And if you want to go in that direction, and, you know, good for you. But the mountain of evidence and base common sense totally dispels that myth. And we've been attacked vehemently on Facebook and through other means by the Meyer group. And they have a real agenda to be the one and only to have an exclusive on God and ET, which is beyond senseless. It's just I can't even believe anybody would even go there. And but they do. You know, there's people that want a guru. You know, they want somebody to tell them what to do, how to think, and you know, totally eliminate any personal responsibility whatsoever. And so there are groups out there that people flock to, which I think is a form of insanity. Another thing is that we're talking about the Free Art Bell thing. I wanted to talk about that. I guess he opened up a new show on Sirius, and the streaming was so bad, they got so many complaints, and it kept breaking off, and people just were frustrated, and Art was frustrated, and he said, look, let me just stream from my website until you get this fixed. They refused to do it. There's a lot more to the story, but basically they just locked him up in a contract and then just dumped on him and didn't give him, you know, a good product or anything that was functional. So anyway, that's the story there. He's, you know, he was going to come out again. I sent him an email. I said, I'd love to come on your show again and do another show, but he's kind of locked up right now, and I guess he's considering, you know, what to do next, because, you know, he did sign a non-competitive clause, and but hopefully he can break that contract and just come out and do something else, just stream from his own website or something, because we'd love to have Art back. He did a great job. You know, he didn't hold back, and at the end of our interview, we did an intention experiment to invoke global contact. It was an amazing success. The phone lines, the email lines, everything were jammed for days after the event with people who had their own contacts, their own sightings, and some pretty amazing stories came out of that event, and it was a global event. So that was a real game changer, and I'd love to have Art come back on the air and get back on a show and maybe do it again. Maybe it's time for another intention experiment. You know, maybe we'll do some here on this show and set it up ahead of time and really publicize it. But it needs to be done. And we can probably, you know, bring other shows online too to cooperate and all work together. It is basically about cooperation right now. And one of the messages that came through all the conferences is that there's no more lone wolves. We have to work together. We have to start building community. You know, we have to stop the petty stuff, the small stuff, set it aside and look at the bigger picture, because the energies that are coming and the things that are coming, it's going to take a lot of us all working together, holding a frequency, you know, maintaining, you know, holding space and holding that divine space, you know, for others that forget that divine space. And just to hold it together here, because the veils are coming down, the veils between worlds, the dark hearts are, and the regenerates and these other unseen energies are going nuts right now, and they're freaking out. They're trying to hang on any way they can. And so they're going to create as much havoc as possible. And it's up to us to start joining together and learn how to heal these unseen negative influences, how to hold space, and steer this earth back to Eden, basically. So that's the process. And again, you know, if you want to learn how to do these clearings, they're in the books, you know, Reunion with Source and Becoming Gods, as well as all the information about the different dimensions, who's who on those dimensions, and a lot of prophecies in those books that has been unfolding right on schedule. So it's amazing when people read these books, they go, oh my God, when'd you write these? You know, and I told them they're written in 82. And they go, well, everything that's in here is happening now. And I said, exactly. You know, they were a little ahead of their time, but the time is now, you know, and the books are here. So I would strongly suggest, you know, going to the eSETI.org website and getting those books. And they have wonderful techniques on, earth healing meditation, personal healing meditation, contacting your own guides. Those meditations are in there. Healing unseen negative influences are in there. You know, a lot of information is in those books. And that's why I wrote the books, is to get it out there. And so we could all unify and do this work together and clean up the planet. A lot of times people say, well, I can't afford the books. Well, you know, send us an email and we'll send you the healing technique. You know, we'll send you the whole process to heal unseen negative influences. It's that important. So there's no reason why we can't all do it. And it's a very simple process to do. It helps to know who your main teacher and guide is. If you don't know who your main teacher and guide is, you can choose one of the mainstays. You know, you can choose Yeshua ben Joseph or Jesus or Mary or, Kuan Yin or Babaji or Buddha. You know, you can choose any of these. They all come. You know, they're omnipresent beings. And when you invoke their energy, you know, you just, you know, you welcome those who are in need of healing. You welcome them in love and light, and you tell them they're healed and forgiven, lifted and enlightened. You tell them they're filled and surrounded in the Christ light and the Christ love. And then you ask the beautiful many or Buddha or Yeshua or whoever you want to call on to take them to their perfect place. It's a very simple prayer, but it works. And you just keep doing it until the energy is clear. And you focus on love and bliss and just radiate that outward as you're doing the clearings. But it's amazing, you know, a lot of people that have a lot of illnesses or just feel a lot of negative energy around them, or if you feel having a lot of accidents, there's a lot of these are directly related to unseen negative influences that are creating these situations. So it's very important to learn how to heal unseen negative influences. I would not even teach a meditation class without teaching people how to heal unseen negative influences. Because when you expand in consciousness, you're taking in a greater territory. And as you expand, you know, there are things that can be within that expansion that aren't in your highest and best good. So, it's very important to learn how to do clearings, you know, how to keep your space clear. And the more you keep your space clear when you do these healings, your meditations expand and you feel safe and you feel connected and so you have your meditations go deeper and more expanded, and you start connecting into your multidimensional self. So all those techniques are in the books. And, you know, if, or you can stay tuned. We actually teach courses and all of that. And although we won't be probably starting up till April, again, due to the snow, as they're just getting ready to fly up here. Might even be tonight. You know, we have some cold weather coming in. I'm trying to think if we've covered everything. I know there's a lot of the solar minimum is not really a minimum. The sun is kicked right back on again, as we talked about earlier. We said it would, and it did. And we're getting, you know, back-to-back M-class flares that are actually catching up with each other and glancing blows on the planet. Right now, we have some massive spots coming around. And it's not over, folks. It's still coming. And there's a lot of other things. I wanted to open up for questions and bring callers in. I know I had a couple questions. I've got my assistant here, Tiffany, that might help me out with some questions that have come in that we can try to answer here on the air. And before we start, let me give you the call-in numbers. If you want to call in, we can answer your questions on the air as well. And the number is 888-627-6008. And that's a toll-free number. I'll give you that again if you're fumbling for a pencil. I'll give you a couple of minutes to get a pencil. We'll give you it again. But again, that number is 888-627-6008 if you want to call in. And we can answer some of the questions. Or if you want to talk about if you're at any of these conferences and you want to share your experiences at these conferences, by all means, call in. Because, you know, they were amazing events and everybody had different experiences. So it'd be great if you'd call in and talk about some of your experiences at these conferences. But I'm going to go ahead and open up for the first question.
Okay, so could you tell us about the Anunnaki?
Okay, so that one of the questions that came in was they wanted me to talk about the Anunnaki. And hopefully, I think I'm going to play that song at the end of this show because it's such an amazing song that tells the story. And I can tell you how that came into me is that a being by the name of Inha, a six-dimensional being, which is part of the benevolent side of the Anunnaki, came to me. And they've been feeding us a lot of information about what's up, what's happening, you know, on the universe and especially within our little Milky Way system. But, you know, we're getting ready for a major shift and a major change. And these beings are part of that change. And she was the one that had actually downloaded that song. I've never written a song before. And I wrote this song out in perfect verse and everything. And handed it to the Outback Gypsies, and they went ahead and recorded it, and it's just taken off on the charts right now over in Australia, and it's doing really well. But we'll play that at the end of the show. But the Anunnaki are, I'm trying to see how I can pigeonhole this thing and keep it short and not have it. I mean, this is a show in itself, but basically there was a council of 12, and this council was very benevolent, and they operate under universal law. They're intently spiritual, very powerful beings. And that group came to the earth, and they found out that there was a lot of gold here on earth. Their planet was dying. It was just getting hammered, you know, in its revolution around the sun. And so they needed the gold to create an aerosol to shield their planet. And they were using other technologies such as HARP that we're misusing today. And as a matter of fact, the Philippines was definitely HARP related. You know, that mess over there was generated. But go to Dutch Census site if you want to get more information on that. But it's very well documented. But anyway, these beings had extreme technology, you know, incredible technology. They had planet splitting technology, you know, so you can imagine where they were at, you know, in their technological advancements. But they came here to get the gold. They brought with them the Ajiji, which were the miners, and the Ajiji revolted. They didn't want to mine the gold anymore, and so they ended up taking one of the knuckle draggers here, the Neanderthal man, and they added their genetics, and through a series of upgrades, you know, they ended up with, you know, basically a lot of us, you know. So basically it was a win-win situation there, because, you know, they got the gold they needed to restore their planet and save their planet, and they gave us a huge uplink in genetics and consciousness, you know, a huge evolutionary jump. And, you know, it wasn't a slave race at the time. That wasn't the process. And so when they left, you know, I think 200 to 300 people behind to oversee this new civilization that they created to help it evolve. And that's where the problems start. Those are the fallen ones that, you know, we always hear about fallen angels or the fallen ones. And they got into turf wars. They were the original Hatfields and McCoys. And they started competing and then warring on each other. They actually used nuclear weapons on each other. It was just a real mess. And the Council of 12 was no longer around to, you know, to oversee this and stop the nonsense. And so they fell into the baser emotions of survival and fear and control and competition and you know, started mating with the earth women, you know, found them to be fair and took them as wives. That's all in the Bible. But, you know, it just became a real mess down here. And there was two beings. Enki was the creator god that loved his creations and wanted to, you know, see them, you know, continue and evolve. And Enlil was the god of destruction, the warring god. And in our Bible, when you read the Bible, the Old Testament has this jealous, wrathful, genocidal maniac of a god. And the New Testament has this all-loving, all-forgiving god. You know, Jesus brought the new covenant, the new image. So that is indicative of what happened in the past, you know, and it's still going on today. So we have a group that wants to annihilate man and get rid of most of humanity and just have a nice little controllable group here. And another group wants to assist humanity and allow humanity to reach their highest potential and wants to preserve humanity and the earth. So those two factions are at it still to this day. And there's some other stories in there where Marduk made an alignment with some reptilian beings, and we're still dealing with that mess as well. So basically you've got the controllers and the enslavers and the ones that want to hold everything down and dominate everything. And you've got the other people that, you know, want to preserve and go forward in evolution. And you know, they're operating under universal law. And we're still playing that out. But the good news is the benevolent Anunnaki are back. They have massive ships. Their ships are here. There's nothing anybody on Earth can do about it. Their technology is so advanced. And they're returning. And they're going to pull a lot of these wayward souls before their councils. And they're going to have to stand before the council and deal with what they've done. You know, they, you know, Earth was to be left to the humans. It wasn't supposed to go that way. We were supposed to be allowed to evolve, you know, on our own without all this interference. So another thing too is that divine intervention is occurring right now, and the prime directive is over. So it's a hands-on situation. And the Anunnaki are the ancient Lyrians. The ancient Lyrians are the root race for the Pleiadians, the Orion Council of Light, and a lot of the other races. So they're all involved as well. The Andromedans are involved. All these beings are involved. The star nations are returning, and they're going to help assist us, you know, in this grand awakening and healing process. You know, and we need to do our part here on the ground as well. So it's not a matter of them doing everything for us. We have to do our part, and we have to start asking for assistance and initiate the assistance, and then we'll get it. You know, it's pretty much that simple. But that's the short version of the Anunnaki. And if you were to attune to the benevolent Anunnaki, you would be amazed. They are very loving, very powerful, very wise, and they don't need worshipers. You know, that's not their program at all. they're pretty solid within themselves, and they're not coming for the gold either. You know, that's not their program. So there's going to be a lot of false flag information about that, and a lot of fear around that. And there's nothing to fear coming from the heavens. It's what's already here on the earth and what's been here, manipulating humanity for eons. And that's what's being rooted out right now and being dealt with. But anyway, that's the short version. There's a much longer version of that, but there's nothing to fear coming in from the heavens. And it's the nonsense on earth that's going on that we need to pay attention to. Okay, next question.
So what do you see coming in the future?
Okay, another question was, what do I see coming in the future? We've got some big events coming. I know it's funny because we've gotten this information from three or four different sources and validated, but right around Thanksgiving, right after Thanksgiving, there's going to be another huge wave of energy coming through. And it's similar to those ninth wave unity consciousness waves that the Mayans talk about. And they're exponential. They're getting stronger and stronger. And another big wave is going to come in through, you know, right after Thanksgiving. And when these energies come in, a little heads up, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, when all the families are together, is when everybody goes into process. And when you add this energy to that process, it's going to get a little crazy. So it's going to be real important to learn how to heal unseen negative influences, how to heal thought forms, liminal concepts, how to maintain your space and hold space, you know, during these shifts, and just learn to release and let go and let Creator, you know, take these energies, because it's going to be an intense shift, you know, when these energies come through again. The other one is right after Christmas. There's another one right around Christmas that's coming in. So these waves of energy, they build, you know, they'll build up and they'll come maybe 3 or 4 days, you'll feel them building, and then all of a sudden they hit their peak, and then there'll be 3 or 4 days afterward of adjusting, you know, to the new energies, which is going to create a lot of change. You know, it could create a lot of chaos, you know, but that's a good thing, because chaos means you're evolving. You know, we go from equilibrium to chaos and then back to equilibrium again. And so that's part of the evolutionary process. And so when you see the chaos, you know, just be aware there's movement, you know, there's healing going on. People are releasing the past. You know, there may be emotional outbursts, and a lot of people just losing their minds when this energy comes through, and just realize that it's just a process. And you don't need to lose your mind while everybody else is losing theirs. You know, it's important to learn to hold space, you know, with these shifts. I'm going to give that number again to see if anybody wants to call in. Again, that number is 888-627-6008. If you've got something you want to share, it looks like we've got Mike on line one. Mike, are you with us?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. I got a question. You said several months ago that because of Earth changes and stuff, we should locate above 600 ASL, 600 feet ASL, above sea level. And I'm just wondering if that's still a go, or has things changed since then?
I don't remember saying 600 feet. I'd go a little higher, you know. But, yeah. Yeah, because it's a lot there's so much going on right now. I don't know. I think it might be higher. I think the problem is that what's going on is that at any time, I mean, we have another volcano going off in Sumatra. You know, we've got the La Palma event happening. We have so many different events happening, and you know, the Earth is being pushed and pulled and tugged, you know, by all these other, you know, extra terrestrial events, you might say. There's so many things happening. It would be so easy for us to have a little glitch or a smaller pole shift or you know, a major quake or volcano going off in the ocean. All of those things are going to be moving the oceans. And, you know, we've already had several of these events, and we've warned about these way ahead of time that, you know, that we were going to be having some tsunamis and things of that nature. So I think it's wise to get, you know, off the coast. You know, I just don't know how this is all going to unfold. I don't know how much divine intervention we're going to get, how many people individually are going to wake up and start calling for it. You know, when this timeline is going to kick in, the new timeline. You know, some say we're already on it, but we're still having volcanoes go off and massive storms. I mean, the Philippines is a good example. The people that were on the coastlines there didn't do too well. It's just wise, you know, to get off the coast, because these oceans are going to be moving around and rivers are going to be flooding, and, you know, just pay attention to your surroundings.
Okay. Yeah, I'm about 80 miles inland, and I'm not at 600 foot. I'm about 570, 530 or something like that, between 530 and 570. And I was just wondering if I should try finding a 600 foot or higher place.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't hurt, you know, but you'll probably be okay there, you know. But I mean, I live at 2,000 feet, and I'm surrounded by a mountain range, so I'm in a really good spot here. And we seem to miss everything, you know, all these killer storms and all these things that go on. We seem to miss. We had an ice storm here we had to deal with a little bit, but some pretty heavy snow, you know, a year ago and the year before. But other than that, it's been a cakewalk up here.
Yeah, I've been up there, actually. I've met you, and we've talked a little bit. I've been with some friends. So, okay. Anyway, I do thank you for that information.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
All right. We've got Grace from Virginia on line 3.
Hi, James.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. I actually was there for the Kaipacha Festival with my partner Leonard, or Leo.
Oh, great.
If you remember us.
Yeah.
I tuned in a little late to the show tonight, and I was hearing you talking about holding tight to your partner. And it's funny because we just separated today. We had to part ways in kind of a dramatic way, and I missed it, and I wanted to get a recap on what you were talking about.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, you know, communities coming together, basically. And I know, you know, it's rough, but sometimes, you know, the energies are just so strong, and there's too much to override and overcome. And when these new energies come in, it just pushes all that to the surface, and people are splitting. But I think community is important, and it is really important not to sweat the small stuff and look at the bigger picture and kind of everybody work together to get through these shifts and these changes and support each other, you know, even in the breakups, you know, to have others that you can go to and, you know, get a hug and an ear to talk and bend and you know, things of that nature.
Right. Well, hopefully he'll give me a ring tomorrow. I hope he's all right. He's kind of out there in the wilderness tonight, but he's a big boy, so he can handle it.
Well, you know, that's happening on a grand scale. You know, a lot of people are processing, and these energies are shoving everything right to the surface. So, you know, you're not alone. You know, I know that. And personally, I've had my own experiences very similar to that. So it's it seems like one lesson after another, but, you know, all I can do is, my old saying is, I'm just sitting here, you know. I'm just sitting here observing, you know, watching all these things, you know, flying around, and I'll still be sitting here when people are ready to come back and talk and work things out.
Yeah. Well, I've been trying to, like, build more community with a lot of people in my field and kind of bringing up these kind of conversations. And it's almost like I feel these strong connections with people, but then it just doesn't seem to work. They're like, no, well, yeah, I hear you, but we're going to do it this way and, get out of my life kind of thing. And it's been hurting a lot. And I've been wondering, I'm like, well, my intention and my heart is on my sleeve here, and it's not working out. And these are the people that are in my realm. These are the people that are around me. So, I flew to the other coast. So I'm on a different coast, and now I'm with my family,
You know, what's important to realize, too, is that, we didn't come here to get acceptance and approval, from this society. We came in from other planes and dimensions and very advanced civilizations to bring that here, that way, that knowingness, that as you say, keeping your heart open and being, communicating and being clear. We came to be an example of that, and where we get nailed is when we have, when we need, somebody else's acceptance or approval, or we need somebody to validate who we really are, so we just need to own the fact that, we might be coming in from a higher civilization, and we did come here into a pretty dysfunctional planet, and it's okay to miss home, because home's coming, home is not too far around the corner. So we are going to reunite with the greater family of man, and our Pleiadian sisters and brothers, and Lyrian and Arcturian and Andromedans. And so that's all coming. So I just hold that as my focus. I know this is temporary, and, I'm just mastering loving detachment right now and being the observer.
Well, I'll give that a try too. Also, though, just bringing love into the people around me, and getting. I wanted to come out for the ambassador's training because that negative unseen negative influences, that's real tough for me.
Yeah.
So I'm doing my best. I have somebody that I work with, a really beautiful, wonderful angel therapist. And she's very good with that. But it's still, there are aspects that, I don't know, she's not privy to or something, but maybe I just need to be more privy to it and clear that stuff on my own. Maybe I'll send that email and get that how-to from you.
If you tune in right now, just take a second, just take a deep breath and let it go. And just tune in right now to the help that's with you right now. And see what you feel like, see what's coming in. Are you feeling some energy moving?
Well, a little bit in my eyes. They're like twitching. There's a little bit of a higher frequency.
Yeah, it's going to keep coming. So just hang in there. I'll do some work after the show. I'll do a clearing and clear out whatever's hanging around you and send you some friends. And you might find yourself laughing for no reason.
Okay. I could use that. Thanks
all right.
a lot. And keep up the good work with the show.
You too. Yeah, keep up your good work as well.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Looks like we're coming up to the end of the hour here. And I really wanted to finish with this song. And just because it just tells the story so much better than I do. And again, this was downloaded from Inha, which is a six-dimensional Anunnaki. And if you take a minute to just listen to this song and open your hearts and minds and see how it affects you, because there is information and a download and ancient memories that come forward and get triggered in this song. So enjoy the song, and it's been great hanging out with you again and back on the air, and we'll be back next Saturday. So watch the skies, open your hearts, and have a great evening.
Build your ancient temples. Came to right or wrong. We left our children to oversee the civilization at its dawn. Our children, they have fallen for got to know about you. They were left here to serve our seeds we left behind, like they, those who serve them, have fallen just as well. Yet now it is time to awaken. Divinity stand and tall. Slaves were not yours, we were meant to walk as one. Now we have returned when all is said and done. Tyrant's days are over. Separation, greed, and control. It is time to lead yourself from your own heart and soul. Come to awaken, heal and empower. It is written in your prophecies, the budding of the flower. Know that your divine is seated in the gods. Waters are pouring, love so sublime. All the children, those young and old, we are now returning as the prophecies have told. Gave those who serve them, have fallen just as well. Yet now it is time to awaken. Divinity standing tall. Divinity standing tall. Divinity standing tall. Oh. in the hearts for everlasting gold.
All right, that was the Outback Gypsies, and if you want to get a hold of that, go to cdbaby.com.